Tonight we're studying on time. We're still in time. We're still talking about time. And I got myself in a quandary with time this afternoon. But Sister Jackson wanted to make it, but we didn't make it back to the dentist till late. And she had to lay down. She wasn't feeling too well. But we're studying on time, part two. The present evil world or age. Now, Deacon, I want y'all to catch this one, because time here, now when I'm talking time here, I'm talking a difference in time now, not time here. So kind of hold on. I may give you a little introduction here, but we might get a little deeper. It says, all God's purposes are fulfilled in due time. Remember, I said there's a time and a season for all things. So here, when I say time, I mean time in the aspect of at the proper season. In other words, at the end of a certain time. In other words, at the close of whenever something's ready. If I say in due time, you'll learn something in due time. If you parents tell you, when due time, you'll learn about that. They may be talking about when you get grown and get older and have children, that would be the time it comes into fashion. So in Mark the first chapter in the 15th verse, they was talking, and John the Baptist was coming preaching, and he was preaching, and it says of the 15th verse, and saying, the appointed period of time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your inner self and your old way of thinking, regret past sins, live your life in a way that proves repentance, seek God's purpose for your life, and believe with a deep abiding trust in the good news, in other words, in the gospel, in the preaching. It is time. John came at the right time. He was born at a time. Now, that's what I say. Listen at time how I'm saying that. And there's a time for everything. So he came at the right time. Okay? So, but let's read it in the King James. But when in God's plan the proper time had fully come, God had sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So it was some 2,000 years, 3,000 or 4,000 years after the creation that we see where Jesus was sent. It wasn't during the time of the Old Testament. He had promised it in Genesis. But the time was set right before John the Baptist. John the Baptist was going to announce him. But this was the period in time that God decided to send him. We have to see God is sovereign, and he has a time for all things. There's a time of release. There's a time that you could come of age. There's a time that you could get a blessing. Everything has a time in life, and we have to see God's sovereign, and he's in charge of time, manipulating or controlling his creation. He's controlling his creation. You can't get anything before your time. If it's not time for that, it won't happen. And we should fear God. In 1 Peter, the first chapter in the 17th verse, he says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in reverent fear of him and with profound respect for him throughout the time of your stay. The King James Version say, during your sojourner here on earth. So that's for believers. All the things in the epistles for believers. But as a believer, we have to realize that this is not our home. This world is not our home. And unless you didn't got that frame of mind that this world is not for you, this is not the real world. This is not the real world. It was a confusion when I tell people that this is not real. What we see is not real. None of this is real. Okay? That we're just here. God has us here for a purpose. Now, whether we fulfill that purpose or not, the true believers will fulfill that purpose, the one God had chosen. But the others will get confused. They'll drop out. They'll leave church. They'll do different things because they really hadn't been chosen. They ran, but it was from a self-centered perspective. In other words, God hadn't called them. They seen the church, they seen God, they thought it was a good thing to do, but they hadn't been called. See, because it's a humble person. It's a person that doesn't think themselves much. Okay, here we go. We go start right here about this present time and about turn. We need to be delivered from this world that we were born in because it's not the real world. You think about the Matrix and things or whatever. But this is not the real world. Because when God first created the world, he seen everything that was good, right? Everything God created was good. In Galatians, we can read from 3 and 4. Now, it says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Whose sins? Not everybody's now. He didn't die for the world. He only died for those that the Father had chose, those that would believe. Because if he died for everybody's sin, then everybody would be saved, because God wouldn't be fair to, if Jesus died for them, why would he send us them to hell? So it's a certain people that he died for. He says he died for our sins, who gave himself. Now that's different if somebody give themselves. I couldn't give you my time. I can work or do certain things or whatever, but that's not giving myself. In other words, he gave his life, his body, for our deliverance. So that's why in turn in the book of Romans it says we should present our bodies as living sacrifices. Now our bodies is no longer ours. It takes years to come to understand those verses. A lot of people have been in church years and years. They can't understand it. Because you have to start living the word of God before you start getting understanding in a perspective where as you're growing spiritually. It takes a while, a spiritual growth, and it takes dying to self. You can't see yourself as important. It's not significant. You're not significant at all. And that's humbling yourself. So I'm not important. People could notice me if they wanted. They don't have to notice me. He says, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Some definitions, and I got a whole lot of reading there. You want to start the reading, but y'all could start the reading, and it's weeks of reading about when he says from this present age, in other words, this present world. That's why he died, to deliver us from this present world. He is going to change your mind. A lot of people are in church, but their minds are not being changed. They hear, but they don't really understand or grasp it. Because whose world is this? Satan's. Satan is the god of this world because Adam turned it over to Satan. That's why when he came to Jesus, he was able to offer. He said, all these kingdoms was delivered unto me. Adam gave them all to him. That's why I say, so the world we are in is not a real world. Okay? That's why the scripture says from this present evil world. It's evil world because you heard of the tornado last week that destroyed all those people? The flood of 2016 here? All kinds of earthquakes and natural disasters? How many people do you see dead? You know, just maimed, in wheelchairs, born blind. This is not God's world. This is Satan's world. Satan brought all this. Adam brought all this about by his disobedience to God. That was the product of eating of the fruit of the tree. Right. This present age, isn't that awful to see a whole family, this mother drove the family off the cliff? You see, this is an evil world. The politics, if you look at the politicians, they're stealing and they're corrupting everything. So if you sit down and read the news, you'll see the world is evil. That's why he says it's an evil world, this present evil age. That's why he came to die to take us. That's why, you know, it's finally twined in there. You'll understand when he was telling his disciples, the kingdom is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. See, because the ones he's in contact with, the ones that know about him, know that this ain't real. That's why they can die. Because death is not of God. Once we know of God, death, we don't fear death anymore. It has no sting to it because death is not of God. Right? Because that's what he told Adam, the day you eat of it, you shall die. Well, that's not a good God that would die, what men would be dying. Is death good? That's not an acceptance, is it? In God's new world, it won't be any sickness. He died for our healers. You won't be sick under Christ. Christ, if you look at Christ's time, nobody was sick. Nobody was lame. Nobody was blind. No problems at all. So we have to think of that world that he died for. Once you start thinking and have that much faith to know he did that, that's why a lot of people, that's the only way you can get up and walk. Paul said he seen that man had faith to be healed. Mm-hmm. The only way you can start getting miracles, the only way you can start getting visions, the only way these dreams and things, is that you start seeing through the eyes of faith the unseen things. See, faith is not seen. You can't, once you start realizing in your mind, hey, I'm whole. I have eternal life. I'll never die. You have, that's why the Bible tells you have eternal life. You have to start reckoning this to be so. You have to reckon that everything God said in you that was good for you is good for you. You have to believe God's word, regardless of what people say. He says, he came to deliver us from this present evil age. According to the will of God and the Father. Now, in terms of growing and overcoming, living in a particular period in history gives a Christian no advantage. Because it was a present and evil age when Paul wrote it. People talking about the good old days, there was bad days to everybody else during that time. Mm-hmm. People talking about making America great. Was great? People was in slavery. You had civil rights fighting. There was sicking dogs and things on people. Was that great? Was that great when women wasn't allowed to vote? Men of different colors wasn't allowed to vote? It's been evil. The world has always been evil from the time of Adam because Satan became the god of this world. That's what Corinthians tells you. Satan is the god of this world. We're looking for a different world. A new heaven and a new earth where it's no more bondage, no more evil. You can't hear bad reports. Mm-hmm. Not in God's world. That's the world you're looking for. It's no more evil, no more tale-bearing, no more gossip, no more bad moods or nothing. That's what we're looking for. It says Abraham was looking. That's what he, pilgrim by faith, he was looking for a land. He was looking for a home. He didn't find it in this world. You're not going to find peace in this world. No. And the only way you can have peace is if Christ come home to your heart. Praise and he'll give you peace and joy. In the middle of calamity, when the storm it was raging and the ship was sinking, he was sleeping at peace because no matter what's going on around you, if you have Jesus in you, you have peace.
Praise God.
You're not going to be troubled what's going on in the world.
You're right.
The other day I was with my brother. He was telling me what was going on. That's why I got some of this from is what he's saying. Because I'm saying it is. Because I don't listen at the news. And I don't follow that anymore because that's staying in the world, the present world. Cut it off. It's for the people who live in this world whose home is in this world. Every era, every age is against us. He must make the most of his calling. The time have always been evil. Okay? When people talking about the good old days, well, they were just like that. Nothing's new under the sun. We don't have an ability to save ourselves. There's an inability to save ourselves. So like I said, Jesus died. All these people that went to church talking about Easter, do they really realize what happened? Do they really believe what happened? It says he bought us or redeemed us or delivered us or saved us. If you actually believe that, you live that way. Jesus gave himself for us, the many, that we would be saved. Those that he gave himself for will actually be saved. They won't be lost. Okay. That's enough for that. Let's go back to this one in Matthew 20 and 28, I think it is. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. He died to take, that's why he says the world is passing away. See, people want to save this world and it's a great revival. That's not what the Bible teaches. He says all this is passing away. You look for a new heavens and new earth. And I was telling my brother the other day, I said, well, it won't be water. He said, it's going to be fire this time. That's the fiery judgment of God. He's good. Everybody's being tried. When we say fire, we're not talking, Christians wouldn't think of a literal fire burning people. You would think of the judgments of God testing you to seize you on God's side. That's why Peter says that you shouldn't be upset or disturbed by the fiery trial which is to try you. It's a time of judgment. That's why we've been preaching from the day of the Lord, just to see where you're at, to see what's going on. Are you really true? You remember Job had to go through that fiery trial. That's a fiery trial Job went through. Who gave himself as a sacrifice to atone for our sins, to sanctify us. In other words, the way he saves us through this, from this world, is through obedience. He sets us apart for him so that he might rescue us. That's the Amplified version says, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age in accordance with the will of God. It has to be through God's will. That's why it's bad to get hooked up with different religions and things. That's a sign of the end time with all of the antichrists and the false religions that's come along. He says in the book of John, I'm going to read this now, but I'm going to have to come back to it again after a while so you'll understand this. He says, I have given to them your word, the gospel, the message that you gave me to give them. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. The world hates you. And, you know, I was at someone's house the other day and she was talking about the neighbors or people don't like us sometimes, they don't speak or whatever. You know, that's why I said, well, that's petty. Don't worry about people, because you know you're doing your job when people saying this and saying that. Because if you different from people, if you a child of God, why would the world love you? The world loves his own. Now, the people that has all different people stopping by their house, drinking and talking and going with them and doing all this, they're really not saved. If you got people anywhere in your community coming over your house and playing cards, eating everything, and you may have a problem there with your salvation. If the world loves, if these people that's of the world love you, you have a problem. To be friends with the world is to be enemies with God now. I cross the street, he looks at me like you could burn me up sometime. I speak to him and don't speak to him. I always, hey, sometimes he don't speak. But does it bother me? I have to do what God tells me to do. Amen. You just have to live in this world. It's going to be time. People going to say all kinds of things, but you love them and don't speak despitefully. God told you, I'll take care of that. He says, they are not of the world and do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it. They killed him. They hung him on a tree. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They hated him because it was the truth he was doing. The truth hurts. People want to be important. People want to be recognized. And he didn't recognize the Pharisees. He went to the sinners. He went to other people's houses. He didn't say, hey, you a Christian? You know, how many Christian people want somebody to say, oh, he's somebody, let's talk to him? Huh? That's a Pharisee. But a person that's humble don't mind being there. A lot of time people have to ask, oh, you a preacher, you this and that. I let them find out. I never do tell them out there. You have to say that. You find that out. Just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it, I do not ask you to take them out of the world. Okay, that's what he says. Don't take them out of the world, because I need for them to learn in this environment. He said, I don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil that's in the world. And that word does that. But see, a lot of people are conforming to the world, and they want, that's why the churches, that's the worst problem I'm having with so-called Christian people. That's the one get on my nerves right quick. I have to watch myself, because a lot of times I'll end up saying, Christian people think that they're more than everybody else, and they should be acknowledged before the publicans and harlots. That's why Jesus said publicans and harlots are going before you do. You remember the man that went to this temple and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. But the Pharisee, hey, I'm paying tithes, I'm praying and all this. You need to acknowledge I fast twice a week. He said, that man went away. He wasn't justified, but he thought he was somebody. He says, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. You can't be of this world. If the world loves you, there's a problem there. The present age. You can say the present age or the present world. He delivered us or saved us out of the world, we said, right? So he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thine word. But all of them wasn't keeping the word. Remember, Judas didn't keep the word. And if you're having problems or trouble in your life and things going, it's because you're out of God's word somewhere. That's when the stress comes. That's when things come into your life that you can't really deal with. Now, God's people dealing with a lot. Like I say, that's why I just have to watch how I come up on people, because I don't know what that person's going through. You don't know what the other person's going through. That's why you have to watch how you approach people. You better hope they're in control. This young lady went in and shot up people the other day somewhere, YouTube or somewhere. YouTube. You never know what's on a person's mind. You know, you don't never know who will click or whatever. You have to watch. And just, it says, watch and going through this world. He says, you gave them to me and they have kept and obeyed your word. But you know, our problem is later on we be saying, I'm sorry. If you get a chance to repent, God may give you a chance to repent. But, you know, sometimes sorry don't cut it. You might die before, you know, you might run across the wrong people. That's why it says it's a time to live and a time to die. You might intervene or you might be trying to do good and somebody kill you. It's not that you were evil person or whatever. It's just that you didn't have the knowledge, enough knowledge. That's why it says it's going to be a lot of Christians died in this end time, because they're going to go ahead of the word of God. They go ahead of God, because it's like Samson. He didn't know God was with him because it was Seth doing that. So when you run into strife with people, you weren't running into problems with people and things. A lot of time that's because you hadn't allowed God time to work. Everything's going to come in its proper time or due season. Yes. That's why a lot of people are angry or say certain things, because you doing that, that self, and you done ran in them devils jump on you because you not allowing the Lord to work the problem. You going ahead of God. You have to let God go and cut out the enemies. If I just let the Lord fight my battles. Okay, he says, keep them from the evil. As I pray, each one said, deliver me from evil. Leave me in no temptation. Because, like I say, every person need to realize this is a dangerous and an evil time to live. Anything could be taken the wrong way. Anything could happen. So we have to stay in constant prayer and contact with God, that we need you because this is an evil world. You know, going home tonight, I could be power drunk, driver could get me at any time. Mm-hmm. Leaving here the other night, some guy was in a Camaro, a car coming out of Sister Harris' driveway or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought he read shoe bear or something going on. You know, he music stuff blasting. He said, hey, Pop, you got one headlight, Daddy, that outside headlight. You know, you need to get that fixed. The police will get you in trouble out there. Thank you, son. I appreciate that.
Yes, Lord.
But you never know what's going to happen. A lot of people stop. A couple of years ago, a girl was trying to give a girl a ride down here off Corporate Boulevard or something. She hijacked the car and went down Old Hammond Highway or whatever and turned the car over and killed herself or whatever. Sometimes the very people you help will rob you and kill you. The people you let in your home or whatever. The people you try to do good for, you find out that they're talking about you behind your back. And it really hurts, don't it? That's because you're living an evil world. And you allow that to get to you. You can't allow people to get to you. You can't allow things to get to you because you want people to think the best about you. And you're doing for people. But the very ones you do for, the very one, I'm being a fool out of them. They'll do what I ask them to do. Or this and that, that. This is an evil world we live in. Sure. You don't have to be and did anybody anything for people. You say, I never did that person. Nothing in my life. I've always tried to help them. What do they care? It's an evil world.
Yeah.
The world is evil. So you're expecting, you have too high expectations. I have a sermon about that, too high expectations out of people. You know, you expecting too much. Don't expect the world to embrace you. That's why I say, don't expect that you and your neighbors will get along all the time. Don't expect you and your brother and sister will get along. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He says your enemies will be those of your own household. Because you may be of a different religion and they of a different religion and they think, you think you something. You think you, I'm a Christian too. Okay, well, I'm not going to argue about that. If you want to say that, but you say it in your mind. I know I don't serve the Jesus he served. You ever said that about family or somebody? Mm-hmm. You know, we must be serving two different gods the way you live it. John 15:19 says, if you belong to the world would love you as its own and would treat you with affection, but you are not of the world. You no longer belong to it, but I've chosen you out of the world, so we have to walk circumspective because of that. Peter said in the book of Acts, to save yourself from this untoward generation. I copied that out of the Amplified Version, the way it says, and Peter preached and Solomon testified and continued to preach and urge the people with many words, saying, be saved from this crooked and unjust generation. A generation is a time span. In other words, when Jesus said, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. In other words, he was talking about the church age. The church age is 2,000 years so far. It was from the time of Jesus Christ at Pentecost until through now. But it's running parallel with the present age. So there are some that are in the world that belong to the church, but they're living in the present and evil age, in the present and evil world, because God said, I'm not going to set them in a monastery or somewhere else. Don't take them out of the world, but these are mine. He has them marked. So they belong to the church, and he wants them to keep away from the evil influences from the church. So it's a crooked and unjust generation. You name one city principality, one state, one government, anything that's right in any nation. They all are man because, they're crooked, right?
Yeah.
Because even though a lot of people want to do good, there's none good, not one. Because it's Satan's world. The only government that is good is God's government. But the Christian people who don't understand that will fight you and kill you over the name of God and over the name of Jesus because God didn't give that to them to understand. They're not a part of the church either. Even though they think they are. So it's a lot of people in the churches. They won't be saved. They're going to be in the trial all their lives. But they won't never be able to see that God was using them also. He was part of their plan. Everybody's part of God's plan. See, the devil works for God. Mm-hmm. It's no big cosmic fight. People think God's fighting against the devil. It's no fight. God created the devil. He does exactly what God tells him to do. No more, no less. See, Job, go get Job, but don't take his life. This is what you could do to him. You could only do this much to him. He was staying away from Job. He thought God had him covered. He said, no, I'm going to take down the hedge. And see, once we cross God's word, we're allowing the hedge to be taken down. You shouldn't lower the borders of God. His word is his borders. You're bound by God's word. What is bound, seek not to be loose. What is unbound, you got a problem. The word of God gives us the capability of loosening and binding. He says you have to also fellowship wisely within the church. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. That's within the church. Now, I'm not talking about, this stands for your natural brother, but I'm talking about also your church brother. It says, this is 2 Thessalonians 3:6. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the traditions that you received of us. People that's in the church, that's why a lot of times you be doing that. I say, well, you better be careful. You go and visit a former church member of this person, and you remember you had went to something the other day, and I said, well, I don't want to hear too much more about it, because I preach to y'all about things, but I can't run your life. I can only warn you. But the things that's warping your lives, and that's why, you know, some people in the church don't fellowship with one another, because you have people that's going to be broke. That's going to be, as Cravlo Dollar said, that's their destiny to be broke. But if that's their destiny to be broke, they try to bond with you, and y'all bonding together, and both of y'all spending and getting rid of God's money. And if you're not giving to God, you know, some people say they believe in tithes and offerings, and they're in churches with tithes and offerings, but they don't tithe or offering. So what's going to happen? They're going to always be trying to get money from you or somebody else, because unless God's going to allow them to break everybody else, they're not a child of God, you see. So, and they will try to get you in that same condition. That's why my daughter, she stays away from a lot of different people, a lot of people that's close to her. Huh? A lot of your relatives. That's why he told Abraham, get away from around your kin people. Yes. You have to get away from around, because they don't believe in, oh, the church could make it. The church got this and that. There. Well, see, that's against God. That's anti-God. He says, don't fellowship with them. What are your goals in life? What are your goals? Do you like to have things? Are you wanting to have what God said you could have? Are you content with just somebody else being higher than you, somebody else having something, and you never having anything that you have to cater to other people? I was doing this and looking online. Now they're saying they want to put this guy's picture in the post offices and places and everything. See, those people, some people want to be worshipped. Some people want everybody looking up to them. But with my kids and everything, I don't want them looking up to me. I want them looking to God. That's why I say I want you to get off and live your life and to be able to live independently. But some people want to hold on to you to where you coming to them all the time, where you happen to get something from them, or you looking up to them. You don't want life. God had created you to be a blessing and to be blessed. And that's what you should. He said, you the head, not the tail. You should lend and not borrow. And if you're not fighting to get in that condition, you're not an actual child of God.
Praise God.
The future age. He always was talking of a future age. Jesus was always talking of a future age. The world to come, in other words. Hebrews, let's read the book of Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. It says, and furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world that we are talking about. Give heed, listen at this preaching and teaching here. For this reason, that is because of God's final revelation in his son Jesus, and because of Jesus' superiority to angels, we must pay much closer attention than ever to the things that we have heard. Don't let nobody stop you from listening at church, because that's the only way you could hear. The gospel is what unbinds you. The anointing breaks the yoke. And you can't hear without the word. And if you hearing the word of God has more power than anything man could even think of devising. Because you can't think without God. Tomorrow you could be in a coma somewhere. Yes. God has to give you the capacity to think. As I say, the devil doesn't have any power compared to God. God has all power. Yes. So if he giving you his word, he didn't giving you the something that masters the world. He say, how would you like to have what you say? You know, start guarding your mouth without a whole lot of foolish and crazy talking. Amen. That's a lot of people that, you know, a lot of times they know I ain't paying no attention because you're with that crazy talk dulls your hearing. It dulls your perception of sight of God. That's why he tells you about foolish talking and jesting, a lot of crazy talk. He says, Jesus was so much superior to angels. We must pay much closer attention so that we do not in any way drift away from the truth. Adam drifted away from the truth and he listened to Eve and he went along with his wife. If God tell you something like the false prophet said to the other prophet that I'm a preacher just like you. I used to be preaching. But if God tells you something, you do what God tells you. Your grandmother, your brother, sister, your baby, don't care who it is, you do what God say do. Don't, if some 90-year-old gray-headed ladies tell you this and that, say, look, grandma, go on down the road somewhere. I want to respect you and everything, but you get that foolishness and gone from away from you. In the Bible, it tells you if your brother or sister, somebody, if they come and try to get you to do things that God hadn't told you, that they was to be stoned to death. They was to be killed because you trying to draw me away from God. This, the word of God is more important than anything in your life. It's more important than you are. It's the most important thing it is. He said, he told Martha, Mary had chosen that good thing, and that's to listen to the word of God. So while you have the truth, don't let nobody confuse you in the truth. It's a lot in that parable of the sower, and I don't want to get tied up in it tonight. But the world can choke the truth out of you. Thorns and thistles could grow up in your truth. For if the message given through angels, in other words, the law given to Moses was authentic and unalterable, and you couldn't change it. Every violation and disobedience act received an appropriate penalty. How will we escape the penalty if we ignore such a great salvation? In other words, if we ignore the gospel. Think of what happened to people under the law. But here God's son himself who gave himself. Here's a man that came down and died for you and you're not listening at him. Mm-hmm. Just think the problem you would have. That's the one that drug that cross and they whipped with a cat of nine tails and thing. And he trying to tell you how to get out of here and you're not listening. Can you imagine what's going to happen to you? Yes. That's why I say you have to give account for every idle word. For it was spoken at first by Jesus, by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us and proved authentic by those who personally heard it. In other words, he told it to the apostles. That's why you have to guard the truth. You have to guard what you say. He said, and blessed are those who believe on me through their word, through the apostles' word, through the preaching and teaching, through apostolic doctrine. This is nothing to play with. Nothing at all to play with. You have to be serious. That's why I say we have to have a somberness when we come to God's house. When we come before God. I was coming in. I'm trying to get in a mood coming in because I can't let my personal things come in that door with me. And that's why a lot of times I tell people, look, don't distract me because I'm thinking I got to go tell these people what God say. Not what I say. Not what's on my mind. I got to leave all the problems at home. You know, sometimes my wife called. I said, well, I don't have to call her back or whatever because God has to. He's given us a job to do. That's more important than we are ourselves. He said, you have to deny even your own self. He says, by those who personally heard him speaking, besides this evidence, then confirming the message of salvation by signs and wonders and by various miracles carried out by Jesus and the apostles by granting to believers the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. If you want that in your life, he's going to give you that gift of the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't just come to anybody at any time. God has a due time and a season for that. Some may never ever receive the Spirit. God had chosen those that he called and he'll give his spirit. And man's go rule over the earth with Christ. It was not angels, I tell you, that God subjected the inhabited world of the future when Christ reigned. You didn't heard of his millennial reign. He's making us priests and judges. Just think of yourself now. Do you think you should be able to judge anybody? Are you ready to be able to judge anybody? You know, Deacon, that's a fair statement you just said. That's a humble statement because that's exactly the way I feel. And he don't want us to feel overwhelmed, but even in preaching and teaching, so I be saying, Lord, I can't do that. Every time I come in here, I feel overwhelmed. I can't do that. I'm not ready for this. That's what you have to feel. If you're not really, if you think you can do it and want to do it, you got a problem. You have to say, Lord, you have to go with me to do this. He's preparing us to be priests and judges. A priest has to be humble. A priest has to take everything people saying and doing or whatever and just say, okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. And let God fight that battle. Let God fight that battle. Because nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows, Deacon. Nobody knows. And like I said, that's a humility I do sense in you. Because sometimes you just have to take people doing it to you. They're going to say it to you. Just say, okay, I'm sorry. About which we are speaking. There have been and will be those of every age that are children of the devil. And I got that printed out. That's one of the things I wanted to give y'all in chapter 2 Peter 9 through 22. It has those that's in the church that could do that. And that's why I tell y'all about the false prophets. God bring, it's like the fish in the net. He draw all kinds. He put people in the church. He put people in the world that are not going to be saved. They know, a lot of them don't know they're going to be saved, and a lot of them know they won't be saved. But their chief method, that's why he says, save yourself. They're chiefly there to get close to you and pull you down, to become a familiar spirit with you. That's why a lot of people, it's better that they get away from around their relatives because emotions and things get to them, their feelings and things, all of that, you know. And, you know, my brother, I was telling you about in town, he said he understood because I saw him. Not today, when he called yesterday and said he'd be here by 3:30, I said, well, we won't be able to see each other tomorrow, but how about Thursday sometime? You see, because unless you start killing those emotions, it says mortify the deeds of the body. If somebody can hurt you, you got a problem because you're not dead. When you're dead, it's when I can say anything to you and it don't bother you. But if I can curse you out, what happened? You got a problem. But what did Jesus? They spit on him. Yes. And they were beating him. And what did he say? Well, you pray for your children. Don't pray. Don't worry about me. You see, because you have to be dead. But if somebody hurts your feelings, they go. People keep touching that same nerve. Yeah. Because they know that gets on your nerves. They know that bothers you. But he died to deliver us from this world, from people hurting our feelings. He wants you to get to the point where none of this bothers you. He says, see that you be not troubled. Let your heart be. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Your best friend died? You believe in God? Believe in me. Yes. Everything's going, they say it's catastrophe, the stock market, crazy. You believe in God? Don't let it bother you. Don't get upset. Don't let it stress you. Okay, let's go on. I got a few more minutes. A new heaven and a new earth. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will vanish with a mighty and thunderous roar, and the material elements will be destroyed with intense heat. That's this here. Because, and I'm not even to where I wanted to get. That's why I say it's going to take me a couple of weeks to get here. And let me work close. I might get to the start. With a mighty and thunderous roar will be destroyed in earth, and the works that are on it will be burned up. Now, I don't know. A lot of people might not believe that. They believe that this world will be here. But he's telling you, don't invest in this because the earth is not your home. This is just temporary. But it's going to be burned up. In other words, it's committed to, consecrated to God. It's going to be destroyed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be in the meantime? In holy behavior, that is, in a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer. and in godliness, displaying profound reverence toward our awesome God, while you earnestly look for and await the coming of the day of God. Now, you remember, a lot of people think they want to see that day, but they don't want to see that day because that day would be problem for them. They thought, you ever said that you wanted something and was asking for this and I didn't preach on that? Be careful what you ask for.
Yes.
It may not be what you want. Amen. Watch that woman you prayed for to get married to. Watch that husband you had to have him. Now you got him. You want that devil to go about his business, don't you? For on this day the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the material elements will melt with intensive heat. Okay, now Pastor, you saying that this was not literal fire, right? This was all in your mind. You remember we was talking about Ecclesiastes, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Because that's going to be deeper than I want to go with y'all tonight. You're not going to understand that I hadn't laid a foundation for it. But here we go. It says, but in accordance with his promise, we expectantly await for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In other words, we're looking for a heaven and an earth where the line lay down with the lamb. See, because you ever seen them Discovery Channels and a little antelope or a little animal try to go down to the lake and get something, an alligator or something, swoop down and kill him or something, a lion or something?
Yeah.
That's Satan word. You remember, the world was subject to this because of Adam, because it won't be killing in God's holy mountain, which is his earth. It won't be killing in the earth. That's not the nature of those animals to kill one another. Satan brought that about. So they said lions would eat straw, bears and things. They wouldn't eat one another. You see, you wouldn't have death in the new world, not death of anything, because God said, "Thou shalt not kill."
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people take pleasure in dogs fighting one another and killing one another. Those kind of people and those animals that won't exist in the new heaven and the new earth. They tell you, go gamble, you can make some money, go win the lottery and everything. But show you how evil it is. They know it's bad because we're going to set up a Gamblers Anonymous line because you might get addicted to that. You can lose your house, you can lose everything. Yes, gambling ain't going on. But we're going to set up gambling. But we're going to designate the funds to the school, right?
Yeah.
That's what the Louisiana Lottery is, designated to the school. But the politicians come along and say, okay, we're going to cut the school budget every year. General cut the budget every year. Why? Because those dedicated funds are going in there. That gambling money is going in there. But they're talking about the gambling. But we love our kids and everything. And you notice how many politicians and movie stars then turned on the poor kids. The poor kids marching in the watch and say, hey, save us, you're killing us. We can't go to school. And they say, oh, these kids ain't no good. Now you're talking about your kids. And they say, hey, they're killing, they're shooting. No, we make more money off these guns. The gun lobbying thing control it. We the only nation with this many gun deaths. Australia and all them other nations, but they don't have those gun deaths like that. But it's money. It's a cruel and evil and a corrupt world. Let's keep going here. Acts 1, 6 to 7 adds an important fact. Listen at this now. You remember I was telling you about times and so forth about times. Therefore, when they had come together, this was after the resurrection, they asked Jesus, say, Lord, when were you will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They asked him, when was he going to bring this peace to the earth? When was he going to restore the kingdom? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Some things are not for you to know. You do what I told you to do. Don't worry about what time that is. So he wasn't telling them that, but we know we're living in the end of the age and we have much more revelation than they had. The Bible speaks of an age that runs from the creation of Adam to the flood, right? Mm-hmm. This present evil world is another age. This world from the flood on to that, men has been killing and doing all this. It's the present age. And the world to come is another age. You've heard in the Bible of the world to come. But to have a new world, you have to get rid of the old world, right? But the people that don't believe that, who says it's going to be a revival of the world, Okay, if you revive the world, it's not going to be gotten rid of, right?
Right.
But to have a new world, you have to get rid of the old world, right? So, what? Who's right? We know that this world has to pass away.
Yes.
Other periods of time can be divided into periods in which God is shepherding all of the events. If we'll see it, that the Spirit do it yet work. And let me close with what I'll open up with next week. Hebrews, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith chapter. It says, through faith, we understand. I don't know how you read this before. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that there was a world before this world, that Satan was on the world, because if you would look in Genesis, it says the earth was dark and without form and void. Something had happened to make that world that way, because God doesn't create something dark and bad. So there had to be a world in which Satan was ruling over with, and darkness came upon that world. It was void, it was out without form, and God spoke. That's when he was recreating the earth, and he said, let there be light, and he brought all of the things together up on earth. But if you would notice, you didn't hear him creating of the devil. And when he get it all completed, that the devil is, that Satan is sitting in the garden. It says that Satan was more subtle than any other beast. So he was already here. So that's one world. And then this is a new world God creating, right? He created, but it says we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. In other words, God spoke and said, let there be light. Light was. So this is by faith. They were framed this way. So that's from Adam to the flood. And God said, I'm going to destroy every man on the earth. He was going to destroy this world. Now, like I said, it's not going to get deeper to next week, because you'll see that we're not talking material things and literal. We're talking spirit. We're talking faith. He says, okay, so he destroyed that world except Noah and his sons. They was carrying that spirit, though. They carried the spirit of Adam. They was Adam's progeny. That's how that world, this present age come about. Anything man has to do with, he contaminates it. Jesus didn't come from man. Joseph wasn't Jesus' daddy. God was Jesus' daddy, his father. He came through Mary. He was born of a virgin. Okay, it says, so that things which are seen, listen at this, that's why I say this is not real. That things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Things which are seen, what we see, were not made of things as they appear. You didn't see these monster shows, everything, that you see it this way, but it really is another way. You're not seeing it as it really is. Mm-hmm. See, because you can't see faith. It's unseen. And that's how you form the world, through faith.
Praise God.
So this is not real. Jesus inhabits. Spirit is what's real. Spirit is what's life. So this is temporal. This is temporary. This world will be destroyed also. But when he says it's going to be destroyed by fire, in other words, his word, that's why in the latter days we go speak the word. The word is what's going to destroy the world. The word is what's going to judge man, speaking the word. That's why I tell you what was power. That's the rod. I've seen so many people fall to the side because of God's word, because they've lived contrary to God's word. Judgment came upon them. He says, by faith, that is, with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power and wisdom and goodness of God, we understand the worlds, the universes, the ages were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. God has a reason for putting, he said when he created water above the firmament, Why did he put that water above the other firmament? If you go back to Genesis. Y'all read that? I'm going to get tied up. It's ready to close. Go back to Genesis and see that when he separated the waters and he formed the waters, and God called the sixth verse, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which was above the firmament, and it was so. I'm going to put this water up here, above the land. And I'm going to put this water below the land. If you're reading Job's, that the springs and everything had broke up during the time of Noah. Because before the times of Noah, it didn't rain on the earth. Right? The earth was watered from the ground. The earth, that's why Eden was Eden, because water washes things away and beats a thing. That's why he says, if you live right, he'll give you rain in due season. Rain comes from God, but a flood is evil because a flood washes things away. You can't control a flood. But the waters, when God got ready to destroy the world, he said, okay, I'm going to send these waters from the top. That's why everybody say, Noah, you're crazy. It ain't never rained before. What you talking about? It's going to rain. It's going to flood. We don't know what rain is. He said that 120 years, and nobody believed, because didn't nobody know what rain was. But all of a sudden, it started raining. Well, that water he had put up on the top, it came down, it drenched, it flooded the whole earth. He has a plan and a purpose. He has a plan for your life. Everything is beautiful in its own time. It has to come together. God's plans come together. There's no thwarting the plans of God. What he has for you in your life, nobody can stop it. Nobody can hinder it. They thought that they could stop Joseph's dream from coming true, but by them selling him in Egypt, didn't God have to get him into Egypt some kind of way? Yeah. By them turning on him and selling him and thought he was dead, that's how he got to be Pharaoh of Egypt. See, so by people kicking dirt on you, you like that old goat that they kept throwing the dirt on, and you were just stomping on the dirt, you was rising high. Every knock is a boom. Everything somebody do to you is building you up. You humble yourself under God. Resist the devil, and he's going to lift you up. They killed Jesus on the cross. God raised him up. You let God raise you up. God has a plan for your life and a purpose.
That was good, Pastor.
By the word of God, that so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. History is not circular. Everything, it's not repeating itself. It's going somewhere. Life is going somewhere. It's not just a circle going around. We headed toward the end. We headed toward somewhere. Scientists tell you that, you know, man's going to get this and yeah. No, it's not. God tells us there's a starting point, Genesis, Revelation, there's the end point. When God comes in and says, okay, it's over with, I'm going to judge the world. Yeah. Now, if you think history repeats itself and man goes on, it's like the scoffer say, hey, where's the promise of him coming? It's been 2,000 years, he ain't came yet. They said that during the time of the flood also. Scoffers will come. They think just because God's taking a long time, he's not coming. He's coming in a time you think not. History's going somewhere. Scientists and people tell you it's linear. No, it's not. God has a plan. God has a plan. And it's going to come. You've read the book. It's going to end exactly the way he said it is. Go all the way to the book of Revelation. He said, he that comes shall come. Let he that is unjust remain unjust. Let he that is unrighteous. It's going somewhere. It may look like you're running in circles, but we're going up the mountain. We going somewhere with this. We're going to talk about the end of the age, and I'll bring this to a close next week. I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here.